This is episode number 169 with Scott Long. Hey there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, and my mission in life is to help school administrators fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. I'm also the host of this podcast, where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show, I talk with Scott Long, and we explore a number of interesting topics like how Scott uses his life song page, the one question Scott heard on this podcast that he asks every single day, and Scott's approach to creating Doherty sticky core values. And that's the big topic. That's the reason Scott is on the show. He reached out to me via Twitter and he let me know, and he, believe me, he wrote a long narrative. He showed me examples, videos, templates, everything. But the coolest part about this episode for me as the podcast host is Scott was a listener who took massive action, heard principles that fired him up from the show, and executed on those principles. Then he shared with me, hey, Danny, this is, you know, what I created because of the show. And I said, let's tell your story on the podcast. To be crystal clear, I want to do more of this. So if you're a listener and you've taken massive action on things you've learned, either at Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast or School Leadership Series, let me know at Alien Earbud on Twitter or everywhere on social media, or Daniel at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Send me an email and let's schedule a time and tell your story. But today's story is all about Scott, and that's today's podcast upgrade too. It's Scott's sticky core values. I'm going to show you screenshots of the initial message, and then I'm going to share all the links that he shared with me so you can dig in. Today, he's going to talk about tactically how he went over 2 months creating sticky core values with his community, but then you can actually see the videos, the templates he used, and then use and steal those ideas and implement at your campus as well. So you can download that at betterleadersbetterschools.com/169 Scott Long, and there's a dash between the numbers and his name, or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, let's take a moment to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey, y'all. This is Gretchen from Always a Lessons Empowering Educators podcast. I'm a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts, but make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, Better Leaders, today is actually quite a monumental episode, not in terms of the number or anything like that. It's number 169, so it's not number 100, 250, 500, 1000. But this episode is with a new friend of mine, Scott Long. And, you know, as I started the podcast, I really wanted to have a big impact on school leaders, right? And I say that I help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. Well, that at the highest level, right, is the mastermind. And then before you get there, there's just plenty of ways to engage with Better Leaders, Better Schools, the podcast, the blog, you know, the YouTube channel, that kind of stuff. And this is my long way of saying that this first episode with a listener, Scott Long, we're going to talk about how he took massive action on the content found from the School Leadership Series, actually, and put it into place, and really some incredible stuff happened as a result. So I'm gonna stop there. I'm gonna read Scott's bio, and then we're gonna get into today's content, which I'm just absolutely thrilled to bring you today. Above all else, Scott Long is a son, a brother, a father, and a husband. These relationships inspire him to be better every single day. Scott and his 3.5-year-old son, Grady, have a slogan they use with each other every single day that best summarizes what he aspires to be for those around him, especially for his amazing wife, Jessica. And the words are humble, kind, and hardworking. Scott is moved by his relationship with God to serve others as a coach to inspire, a counselor to support, teacher to lead, and a friend for fellowship and collaboration. He's the principal at Doherty Elementary in West Bloomfield, Michigan, where their mission, in partnership with families in the community, is to provide a safe place where all children learn, laugh, and grow together into lifelong learners. The Doherty family lives this mission by behaving with four core values in mind: Rocky's cufflink, all hands in, finding the marigold, and respect. They succeed by growing together as a family, building a culture of positive abundance, providing strong systems of student support, and delivering wildly engaging instruction. Scott has served in education for 15 years as a middle school language arts and AVID teacher, a middle school assistant principal, and now as an elementary principal. He was the 2017 NASSP Michigan Assistant Principal of the Year, which was only made possible because of the amazing team of educators with whom he worked. He enjoys spending his free time hanging out with family, reading, working out, doing anything related to baseball, and listening to music by Switchfoot. All right, Scott, welcome to the show.
Danny, thanks so much for having me. I'm fired up to be here today, man. I really appreciate it.
Fired up doesn't even begin to explain my side of the experience. And like I said in that intro, it's just so amazing to connect with you, you know, and just to hear how you took ideas, right, and lessons from the school leadership series. And if people don't know, that's a daily show also available on iTunes, Amazon, Echo devices, Monday through Friday, 5 minutes or less of content. And we're going to get to the special story that Scott has for us in just a second. But before we go there, Scott, could you describe your perfect day at work at Doherty Elementary?
Yeah, perfect day at work for me is, first of all, getting in my truck and getting coffee. On the way there, I pop on your school leadership series, listen to some stuff, get a little bit inspired on the road, and then getting there before anyone else is there. I like to get there when it's quiet. Usually I'm at school by around 5:45, 6 a.m., and teachers report around 8:05, so I got some time to get ready to go. And the first thing I do is I get into something I call my life song page. And what that is just a one pager that reminds me who I am, what my purpose is. It has some motivational quotes, some questions that I like to consider. I'm going to get into that just to remind me where I'm at and get myself grounded. I do a little bit of devotion time and journaling. And then I look at my day and what it's blocked at. And, you know, I list out 3 to 5 things that I want to get done for the day. And that all happens before anyone even walks in the door. When people start to roll in, we have something called a walking club where our kids get into school and they walk throughout the building and laps. And so my first thing is I want to get out. I want to walk with the kids, high fives, talk to them, just see how kids are going, how they're doing, talk to the adults. And then we get to our announcements and we play some music, and that music gets everyone ready to go. It gets me in the right mindset to begin the day. And then from there, it's getting in the classrooms. I don't spend a lot of time in my office. I like to see teachers in action. I like to see the kids in action, and being out on the playground is awesome. The kids like to chase me around and we race each other, play a little bit of football. But that's it. You know, that's an ideal day at Doherty is doing those types of things.
So it sounds like you basically have about a 2-hour block of time really where you can do whatever you want prior to the kids and staff get in there. And I love it because, you know, a lot of times we as leaders are struggling to find a space and the time to do things that are going to move the organization forward, right? And I try to coach people, find 90 minutes to 3 hours, at least once a week, where you can sit down and do that type of work, right? But it sounds like you get that almost every single day just because you're getting up so early and getting to school.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, my goal is not to have to do anything during the school. Once kids get in the building and adults are in the building, I don't want to be worrying about that type of stuff. I want to be present and engage with them. And, you know, so those 2 hours are huge for me to get ready for my day. And I can't, thanks to my wife who lets me go in that early, you know, she gets our son off to preschool and everything. But luckily I have that support with her because I can't imagine my day without that block of time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you call that one activity or sheet you used a life song? What was that?
Yeah, it's called a life song page. And I actually, you know, you mentioned in the bio that I'm a big Switchfoot fan. I saw a TED Talk by the lead singer, John Foreman. And it's a real short TED Talk. If you get a chance to listen to it and watch it, do it. But he just talks about how we all have a song inside of us. It's this anthem in our chest. Our heart is keeping time with it. And all of our thoughts and words and actions, they sing with that cadence that's all of our own. And so in the morning when I get up, I know that I'm part of the symphony of life. And I just try to remind myself of that every day.
Yeah, I love it. It's beautiful. We'll find that for the listeners, that TED Talk, and link it up in the show notes. If you don't mind being vulnerable, you said there's some quotations and, you know, just words, images, that kind of thing that fires you up. Can you get specific with us there?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I have in a big box is my purpose. It's written out. And you had mentioned it in the bio. It's my job is to use God's word to serve others as a coach, a counselor, a teacher, and a friend. And so I know every day that I'm playing those four roles, and I remind myself of that. I have a quote that actually, I believe it shot out via Tim Ferriss, and it was, "What would it look like if it were easy?"
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
Man, it's such a great question. And I find, you know, like a lot of times I get bogged down in things that are complicated and difficult, and I just go back to that question and remind myself, hey, how can I simplify things? So that's in there. Another little quote I have is, you can't be brave while playing it safe. And fear feeds on time. There's a lot of times where there's something I don't feel comfortable doing. And, you know, it's easy to put it off. And, you know, that's the easy part, but that just makes things more difficult on the back end. So I just try to remind myself that. So that's just some of the stuff that's on that page. There's a couple of Bible passages in there as well. Just things that I need to remind myself on a daily basis. Because if I don't, I'll get lost, you know?
Absolutely. And okay, so now I know in the bio too, it talked about that you like to spend time with the family, you like to work out and those type of things. So you're getting up so early and getting to school by 5:45. Where do you find time for the other stuff?
The family stuff happens when I get home. You know, I get out of the building. I'm out of there by around 4:30. Our kids get out of school around 3:20. So I'm out by 4:30. And when I get home, I unplug. It's time with my son and my wife, taking care of chores around the house, getting outside, you know, just doing the stuff that I enjoy doing. I really do my best to balance, because that's always been a struggle in my life, is to keep things balanced.
All right. Well, I've been excited to ask you this question. You know, you've been really digging the School Leadership series, that daily podcast I have. And how did this start? Did you email me? Did you direct message me on Twitter? But basically, you know, you said, hey, Danny, you know, been listening, enjoying the show, and I've taken action on the sticky core values. So I'm going to get out of the way. Can you just tell us the story of, I guess, why you got so fired up about it and then why you took the action?
Yeah, I mean, so when I heard that School Leadership Series podcast, I was like, man, what a great idea to make a set of core values sticky, to make them memorable. Because, you know, every company and every school, they have core values. And as a matter of fact, I thought about it, like, my wife and I, you know, sometimes I look at the work she's doing when she's being evaluated, and they have their series of core values. But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I'd ask her, hey, what are your core values? And she couldn't name them, because they're so vague, and they're not powerful or memorable. And even I think about, like, at our school, we have a social contract, and that's developed, you know, kind of a capturing kids' hearts model, where you have a series of adjectives that describe how you're going to behave. But there's a long list of adjectives there, and, you know, it's not very memorable. Like, ours were supportive, positive, reflective, respectful. Those are all great words. But I want to be able to, I want our teachers and our school community to know and remember how we're going to behave when times get tight and when things get challenging. And so when you put out that content about the sticky core values, I'm like, man, that's what we have to do. And so immediately I started digging in and say, how can I make these memorable?
Absolutely. You know, and the core values for, I guess, the three ventures I'm a part of, because I do Better Leaders, I do some small business coaching, and I actually produce a few podcasts as well. But within all those organizations, I want the core values to stay the same. So it is the honey badger spirit, you know, rule number 6, and looking for the big domino. And you could go to School Leadership Series to hear the story behind all those. I'm not going to share them here. But then your community, if I'm reading the bio right, you guys landed on Rocky's Cufflink, All Hands In, Finding the Marigold, and Respect, right? Which looks like you turned into an acronym. So how did you get to that place that you were able to identify those four core values?
That's a great question. So the very first thing, once I heard your podcast, I started to dig in and say, okay, which value that we already have in our social contract, which one is the most prevalent in our school community? And I immediately landed on supportive. I know that our teachers are so supportive of each other, of our students, and I really pride myself on being supportive. So I asked myself, well, how can I make a sticky core value like the ones that you had, like Honey Badger Spirit? How can I make one of those? I mean, that one's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I love rule number six too. What can I come up with that I really embrace and that I can communicate to stakeholders? And so I don't even know how it came up, but I started to think about Rocky. I'm a huge fan of the Rocky series. And there's a clip in Rocky V, which is the worst Rocky movie, ironically. I mean, you want to talk about bad Rocky movies. That's yeah. it right there, right? But there's this clip on there, and it's a flashback. So Rocky's already, you know, he's lost all of his money. He's back in Philadelphia. He goes back to Mickey's training camp, and it's just a deserted wasteland, right? And he walks in there, and he starts having this flashback of when Mickey was getting him ready for his second fight with Apollo Creed. And Mickey's in there, you know, slip the jab, Rock. And he's like, I didn't hear no bell. You ain't done yet. And then they slow down. They stop their training. And he says, hey, I want to give you something. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, not only that I train you in the ring, but that I make sure you're ready for life outside the ring. And these cufflinks here were given to me by Rocky Marciano, and I want you to have them. And I want them to be that angel on your shoulder. So when you're knocked down, it tells you to get up because Mickey loves you. And I thought that video was so powerful, and it really embodied how we behave as a staff. Like, no one ever gives up on each other. And, you know, you say Rocky's cufflink. That's pretty, like, that makes you ask a lot of questions. What? How does that have a value? Mm-hmm. And then you're able to tell the story. And that story, I think, resonates, you know, and it transcends the idea of just being supportive on so many levels. So I came up with that, and I'm like, all right, it's great. I got to figure out a way to introduce this to our staff. How do I get staff on board to, like, really dig into this and say, yeah, this will work? And that was where it got a little tricky. So what I did is, around the same time, we had a teacher who was really lighting up the staff with the Teach Like a Pirate hooks, you know, leading off lessons with hooks. And so I made all these posters that had pictures of Rocky and Mickey, and I hung up all around the building. And I said, hey, anyone that knows how this relates to our staff and what this might have to do with our next staff meeting, put it on Flipgrid, make a video.
Yeah, yeah.
We had like 15 videos, Danny, of the craziest stuff, and teachers were having a blast with it.
I know you shared those with me. I enjoyed going through them quite a bit.
They were pretty funny, you know, and they were creative, and it got people thinking about what was going to happen at our next early release and what this had to do with anything. And then we did our reveal at the end of our PD, and I gave out gift cards, movie gift cards for the best videos that were the closest on point. And you would have thought that I gave them like $1,000 raise, right?
Right.
We were so fired up about that. And then I played the clip, and then we tied that into how it was being supportive. And afterwards we did a survey, and I just put it out there anonymously. Do you agree that this is a value at our school? Do you believe that this is sticky enough and memorable enough to like get everyone on board? And overwhelmingly, 90% of the staff agreed and strongly agreed that, hey, this is something we can get into. So there was our first value. And I felt like I had modeled, this is how we create them. And that set us up for our next staff release, where I said, okay, guys, we have this one, but we still have these other key values of being positive, of being respectful and collaborative. I challenge you guys as teams to come up with our next set of core values. And so they broke off into groups, and they all drafted their ideas and presented them. And we pushed it out as a survey. And that's how we landed on Find Your Marigold, All Hands In, and RESPECT.
Love it. You know, Find Your Marigold, respect, All Hands In, in addition to Rocky's cufflink. These do beg a question, like, what the heck is going on here, right? What is the story behind those core values? And that's what we mean by sticky core values. They are memorable. They're stuck in your mind. And then you could align everything you do and celebrate, right? And keep the momentum going because you have such clarity around your core values. Listeners to the show, if you didn't listen to episode 168 right before it, I was talking to Christopher Lockhead, and he's the author of Niche Down. And he's really talking about how you can be different in order to be legendary, to be memorable. And Scott is really a practical example of how to do that with the core values. So Scott, is a leader, you know, can you talk a bit about, I guess, approaching the staff? It's great. You know, I hear that you built the excitement. Like, what does this have to do with the next meeting? And there were surveys, and there's a collaborative process to build ownership within all the core values. But can you talk more about your approach towards creating these sticky core values, and also you know, I don't know if you had in your head, right, any type of negative voice, right, that was that just was fearful, right, of you know, the staff, they're not going to be into this and that kind of stuff. So I don't want to lead you too much with that question, but if you had to anticipate fear, how did you deal with that too and build the ownership?
Oh, it's a great question. I'll be honest with you, Danny. I was terrified to roll this out because I had no idea how they would receive something like this. I've been in schools for 15 years and no one has ever done something like this. It's very outside of the box. And so I was really fearful when I rolled that first one out, like, what's going to happen? What if this falls flat? What if I waste all this time on this one sticky core value, the Rockies cufflink, and people look at me like I'm crazy? And really, that first one, I was just going on blind faith. I was like, I got to try this and see if it works. Worst case scenario, it doesn't. And, you know, it was at least I tried. I always pride myself in trying to be an early adopter and initiate new things that I think are exciting. And so that first time that first PD where I rolled that out, I was just as enthusiastic and excited as I possibly could. And then I just watched and listened to see how well staff received it. I had conversations with teachers after the meeting to see what they thought. Some teachers texted me after that PD saying, hey, I love the vision. This is so exciting. And after those conversations, I knew that we could push forward and start to develop the next three. And this is where it got tricky because, you know, like we all have our ideas. And I really wanted to just create the next three on my own and just come up with my own. But I said, well, wait a second. If I do that, I'm going to think they're really cool. But who's really going to be vested in that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so then from there, you know, the fact that we had such positive response, I was like, okay, now we got to get people working collaboratively and brainstorming ideas and get staff's voice. And so we had a little template that we worked through where, you know, they could choose. We had about five or six group at our staff meeting that time, and it was all vertically. So we had a kindergarten teacher working with a first grade teacher and a second grade teacher just to mix it up. And they got to choose which value, whether it was respectful or collaborative or positive, that they wanted. So they had some choice in it. And then they had a part where they had to draw an image that would best, you know, embody what they were coming up with, their core value, and then write the story. Then they presented them out. And there was a lot of laughing, a lot of fun. And it really tapped into the teacher's creativity, which I don't think we do often enough.
No, but again, so you've had to face that fear, right? And the worst case scenario is it didn't go well, it falls flat, but again, at least you tried. But I don't know if I think it was Jordan who said, you know, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, right? So you got to step up and take that game-winning shot. And what I appreciate about what you did, you know, you created a minimum viable product. So it wasn't all the core values. One, you didn't have to invest that much time. So you tested it with just one, right? To see how the community reacted. But then two, you know, if you came with the whole thing absolutely drafted out and saying this is, you know, set in stone, people aren't going to be as excited about it because they didn't have the voice there, right? So there's a fine line there. But you also living out the Jim Collins principle too, bullets before cannonballs. So before going all in, you're just taking a little risk. And that's, you know, I think the final point I want to make, what a great way to model risk, right? We keep talking about that a lot, quite a lot in education, but in all actuality and in practice, how are we really truly modeling taking a risk where you could fail and what you would learn from it? Here, it ended up being a success, but even if it was a failure, I'm sure you would have had plenty of aha moments from going through the process.
Yeah. And you know what's cool? It's the last thing I'll say on this. And it sounds like you want to move on. But the really cool thing is this summer, out of the blue, one of our teachers, Sam Hugie, shout out to Sam Hugie. She was a part of the team that developed the all hands in one. And she kind of came up with, it's all about being collaborative and all hands are on deck.
Shout out to Sam.
Sam's awesome. And she's a lacrosse coach. And they have this little cheer before their games. Who are we? Who are we? And then they say who they are. She transformed it into who are we? Who are we? We are Doherty. She posted that on Twitter out of the blue like a week ago, and it just got a bunch of, you know, likes and retweets. So she's excited because she helped create that. And this is the summertime where not a lot of people are thinking about school, and it kind of revved up some interest in our community. Like, hey, let's get back to school.
Yep.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. And we are, I worked with a graphic organizer over the summer. One of my friends, Erica Ash, she actually designed logos for all of our values. So we're going to put up on stickers and paste them all over the school. It's going to be pretty cool.
That is super cool. And speaking of moving on, let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, well, we're back with Scott Long. And as I mentioned in the introduction, this show is just really a treat for me because Scott's a listener who took massive action on creating sticky core values in conjunction with his school community. And they did something special over there at Doherty Elementary. I think the last two questions I have around values, at least, Scott, how long did this whole process take from you starting off with Rocky's Cufflinks, building the anticipation to final product, we've decided that we have these four core values?
That's a great question. I think after I listened to your podcast, I spent probably about a total of like 4 hours, like not all at once, it was just throughout time, just kind of brainstorming how I could do this. And then, you know, making the posters, that was like an hour gig, just setting those up throughout the building and developing that staff session, which was in April. I believe early April, didn't take much time to prep that out. And then once I got the survey results back, it was just, all right, now how do I create my next staff development session, which was in late May, maybe took me an hour or two to frame that out. And then the staff did the rest in building that. So all in all, I mean, really only about 10 solid hours of work over the course of about 2.5 months. And really, because a lot of that, you know, our values were kind of built, they existed. We knew how we behaved. It was just a matter of making them sticky and making them memorable and telling a deeper story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Good, good. And then the last question around core values, is there anything we didn't cover during this discussion that you think is important to mention to the listeners?
I just can't emphasize enough the importance of storytelling and the importance of using a narrative to illustrate what you're trying to get across. And so if listeners out there are really digging into this, find ways to tell stories to bring things to life. That's what I've really been working on. And it does have a transformative aspect to it.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm thinking about that in terms of my career and the content I create. I like the interviews. I like what I'm doing with this in school leadership series, but specifically in the terms of the books that I create, you know, some of the books that have been the biggest winners in the mastermind, so to speak, have been like a Lencioni type fable or the Go-Giver Leader, which, like I said, it's a fable. It's fictional narrative where you get to know this leader and fall in love with him or her and the challenges they face, but they're teaching leadership principles through the narrative, right? And I think that's how we best learn. And so I'm toying around with the ideas of how to do that for books, but I'm super scared, like you creating the core values, that what if nobody likes the story, right? What if nobody responds to it? So I'll have to work out through that, but that's just to say I'm all in on the importance of stories as well, Scott.
That's awesome. That's a great approach, Danny, to writing those books and crafting your message. That's exciting.
Cool. Yeah, I'm even thinking it could be a series. I don't know if it's the same characters, the same organization or what, but I just see so much potential there. And, you know, go ahead. If you're listening, steal the ideas, see if you can do it better. But that's, you know, it's free ideas, that's for sure, in the podcast. All right. Well, Scott, what's one book, video, tool, or resource that's really impacted your leadership, productivity, or quality of life in the last year?
Well, I mean, in the last year, it's been, honestly, and you and I are talking, it's been the content that you kicked out. The Ideal Week Template that I've really implemented, theming my days, blocking out my time, whether it's in the summer or during the school year, that has really transformed how I operate. And it's helped me maximize what I get done in a day. And it makes me feel successful at the end of the day, at the end of the week. So in terms of content and resources, that piece has been huge. And then obviously just listening to the podcast and getting ideas kind of inspires me as well. A book would be, I haven't read it in the last year, but The Advantage by Lencioni, the idea of clarity and focusing on one big thing at a time has been really impactful to me as well.
Yeah, I think that has to be my favorite book that I've read that he's written. Highly suggest, and that's been mentioned a number of times on the podcast, but go out, check out The Advantage by Pat Lencioni. And Scott, I didn't know you were going to talk, you know, about the podcast and how I've helped you and then the Ideal Week template. So thank you for the shout out. That's super cool.
Hey, it's all true, Dan. I saw you this summer at the Principals Conference, and I told you that I've been telling everybody about the work that you're doing, and Michigan's going to light up, man. You're gonna hear a lot from our people out here. We're really excited about the things that I've learned from you, and I just appreciate you taking the time to inspire educators, man.
Heck yeah. I'm going to tell Miriam to start applying to only schools in Michigan. I need to move over there, it sounds like.
There you go. We got lakes out here if you like lakes. We got lakes for days.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, cool. Well, let's finish the podcast here. You knew this question was coming up. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, Scott? And what would be your top three priorities?
Oh, it's such a hard question. I knew this question was coming. I've been thinking about it. I actually had a friend who knew that I was getting interviewed to ask me, what are you going to say? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. But I think if I had to boil it down to like three big priorities, one of the biggest priorities would be finding ample time for the professionals, the adults in our building to be able to plan and work with each other. 1 to 2 hours a day, having them be able to work with their PLCs. We don't have common planning time for our whole PLCs, finding time for that. Also finding time for them to work vertically with each other so that they're getting things lined up and just giving them the time to be able to develop themselves and come up with a great game plan every day and every week and every month. That would be a big priority right there. Second big priority would be what the experience looks like for kids, man. There's got to be an opportunity for kids to be able to choose a project that matters to them and get together and work in a space throughout the day where they have a voice on what they're working on and they attack it. They don't have to be all in the same grade level. They just have to have a common interest. There's got to be a part of the day for kids to get out and do some kind of activity or sport of their choice where they're physically active. And I say, hey, rotate it weekly. Let the kids choose what they want to do weekly on a weekly basis. And the arts, man, they got to have chances to be involved in music and art and all that stuff that really brings their creative brain to life. And give them choice on that too. What do they want to do for that week? Go there. Books everywhere for kids. Books in every part of the hallways. Reading nooks for kids so that they're reading and they're really fired up to learn through books, because that to me is the magic of education. So that kid process is huge. And then, you know, I think this is kind of, I don't know, maybe small, but having some flexible time structure at the back end of your day with a viable transportation system. So maybe all kids don't have to go home at the same time. Maybe some of them are staying a little bit longer. It's embedded in their school day. And most importantly, they have a way to get home. Because I can't tell you how many times it's been challenging for us, for kids that don't have rides home or can't make it home, or parents, you know, are having a challenge of transportation. Just having something like that for them would be awesome.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Oh, man, the best way to get a hold of me is on Twitter. My handle is @long_DohertyWB. Feel free to get a hold of me that way. And parting words of advice, get after it, man. Just take risks, take chances, and have fun with what you do, because our kids are counting on you. And it's a blast being in school, so just get after it.
It is a blast. Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Scott. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Scott in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Scott, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Danny, thank you.
All right, better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram
for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.